Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of Minor League Monthly here on YesNetwork.com. I'm your host, Lou DiPietro. The second half of the season is underway at all of baseball's top five levels, and as we head into the second half of our podcast season, we're taking a look this month at one league that's actually just underway, the short season Class A New York Penn League, and more specifically, the Staten Island Yankees. Staten Island kicked off their season on June 14th with a four-game Subway Series of their own against the Brooklyn Cyclones, and while the names often change and the action is fast and furious in their short season, this year's SI Yanks are so far a mix of newbies from 2014, 2013 draftees who debuted with last year's team, and several others moving up from the Gulf Coast League for the first time. Even the coaching staff reflects that balance this year, with manager Mario Garza and pitching coach Tim Norton moving up from the GCL Yankees to join veteran hitting coach Ty Hawkins, who's been with SI since their 2006 championship season, and newcomer Luis Figueroa, who barely 18 months ago finished his active playing career as part of Puerto Rico's 2013 World Baseball Classic squad. We start this month's show by taking a look at the SI Yanks pitching coach, who is no stranger to the Yankees organization or the five boroughs. Norton was drafted by the Bombers out of UConn in 2006, began his pro career in Staten Island that year with Hawkins by his side, and spent 6 years in the minors before a series of shoulder injuries spun his future to the other side of the bench. It's been a long road for the 31-year-old Norton, but now he's getting a chance to impart his wisdom on the next generation of baby bombers, and he gave Minor League Monthly some insight onto that new gig.
A couple years ago, you're in the office with Mark Newman. They tell you, we want you to be a coach. Your career is over, so to speak.
Yeah.
What was going through your mind that day? What was that day like for you?
Well, it's always tough to kind of give up on a dream, and I had my run at it, and I went through some tough spurts there with injuries, but I realized it was time for me. I did what I could. It just gave out. So I knew it was a special opportunity for me to continue in the Yankee organization. So I jumped on it.
When you did that, you kind of were an unofficial assistant, and then last year, your first year in the GCL, you were with Mario as well, right, in the GCL?
Yeah, so, well, we had two teams there.
Right.
He was on the other staff.
Okay. Yeah. So being there in the GCL, like, how was that transition for you to go from now official, you're a player to official coach, and these guys are 6-7 years young. I mean, it's not that big of a difference. These guys are 6-7 years younger than you.
Yeah, the first year, there were still some guys kind of floating around that I played with. And each year, you kind of grow out of that. It's still happening, especially in spring training when I'm working with the AA and the AAA guys.
Right.
But, it's time. You're a coach now. You're responsible for certain things and to upkeep the standards that the Yankees have in place. So it's a job now, and I love the transition.
Does that make it easier for you? I mean, the Yankees have some great minor league coaches. Tony Franklin, Dave Miley are some of the best. Yeah. So has been around forever. Does that make it maybe easier for you that you're not that much older than these guys? Does it make it easier to relate to them just in terms of the way baseball is these days?
Yeah, I'd say there's been a few guys that say they like how I relate to them because I know what they're going through. I was just there. I think sometimes once you're on the coaching side for a while, you don't forget, but maybe you slip a little bit as far as what they're going through, and it's fresh in my mind about what they're going through and what feelings they have out there and, maybe what they're thinking. So, yeah, I think in a way that's part of the game where I can relate to them for sure right now.
So now you've got these guys here. You're at the lowest level, brand new to the organization, but you're a Northeast guy. You started your career here.
Yeah.
What's it like to be back here now as a coach, and you're back where you started?
Yeah, it was pretty special. That was a great year coming from UConn here, and then having this backdrop of the city for a stadium, I was completely blown away by it. Ty Hawkins was here as a hitting coach 8 years ago, and he's here, and now I'm on the staff with him, so that's fun. We had a great run at it with Pitsy as the manager and won the Penn League, so now I'm on the other side. I'd say the food's a little better and the coaching staff, the shower's a little better.
Right.
So it's a fun transition. I know the place. I know the city. I'm just looking forward to making a run at it. Yeah.
As you've come full circle now, being in the GCL last year and here now, it's kind of a short season affiliate. You're not necessarily with these guys every day for 6 months, down in extended spring or spring training.
Yeah.
Does that make it easier or harder, do you think, in your mind, that you're not necessarily here with these guys for as long, and then as they move up the level, you only have a certain amount of time to impart your wisdom and help them grow? Does that change your outlook at all?
Well, after spring training is extended spring training. right. which a lot of these guys that are here, a lot of these pitchers were there. So I've been with them. So essentially, I will be with them for a full season. Not on the same team, but I've been around them every day for a full season.
Right.
As far as the draft guys, it is new. You know, these guys come in, we let them go, we take the pressure off them, and they're here for a reason. You know, we let them pitch, get to know them a little bit, and, you know, maybe next year we can really start to impart some knowledge on them, you know, stuff that we know maybe we can share with them. But right now, we just let those guys go. You know, our scouts seen some really good stuff in them, so we watch, we take care of them, and we wait on it. Yeah.
Last question for you is, I know obviously it's still very early in the season for you guys and there's a long way to go, but is there anybody that's maybe impressed you with something you've seen coming from working in extended spring to now putting it into game action, or one of the draft guys that's maybe been a little more impressive than you thought, or kind of shown a little bit more than you may have expected coming out of college?
This is always a tough question because we're so involved with them on a day-to-day basis. We see a lot of guys getting better in certain areas, so to really pick out one, it's tough. These new guys, I've seen them maybe one, two times. We got some guys with some live arms. We got some guys with some wipeout breaking pitches. But as far as those guys, they've all had a little something that impresses all of us. You know, Palladino's come a long way. He's a guy who was here last year. Holder showed me something yesterday. Seemed like he was really composed. He's a late-in-the-game SEC guy. Good curveball, you know, command guy. Beresford was here last year. He's got a live arm. A lot of guys. I mean, I could go through every single guy and tell you about some little improvements we've been making, but yeah, so far, those guys.
Safe to say, in your first season here, you're pretty happy. You like the staff you've got.
Yeah, I am. Gars is relatively new in the coaching world. I think it's his second or third full year. Second or third.
Yeah, I don't know. What's
me and him get along great together. He was in the GCL last year, and Hawk. He was great when I was here 8 years ago, and he's even better now to be on the side of. And Figgy, we chose. He's always keeping it loose, real motivated guy, so it's great. Yeah.
Like the entire roster, Norton's staff has a mix of old, new, and newer, and one of those who fits the former mold is righty Dylan McNamara. A 27th round pick of the Yankees last year, McNamara was born and raised on Staten Island and attended college at Adelphi University on Long Island, so it was a dream come true for him to start his career in his hometown. McNamara was 4-3 with a 2.18 ERA in 20 appearances for the SI Yanks last year, and in his first four outings of 2014, he posted a 1.76 ERA. Home cooking is certainly doing him good, and we talked to the 21-year-old about just how well that's working out.
You're a Staten Island guy.
Yeah.
What's it like to be here pitching in Staten Island in your hometown?
It's unbelievable. It's really it's a dream come true. You know, I came here as a kid years ago and never really envisioned this, but getting drafted by the Yankees was, you know, amazing. My dad's a diehard Yankee fan, so he was stoked about it. And it's great to be able to live at home, live with my parents, though, so it's pretty nice. Save money.
When you got that call, I mean, what went through your head, you know?
It was because I never even, you know, it was greedy to think to get picked by the Yankees. Just to get picked in general would be great. Then to get picked by, you know, New York Yankees, being from Staten Island, is unbelievable. Couldn't put it to words.
When, you know, you're your second year here now, so you have a whole new crop of guys that come into from the draft or from the GCL or whatever. It's a kind of a whole new team, but you're with these guys a lot during maybe extended spring or whatever.
Yeah.
How does that help you guys, you know, how does that help you bond with the guys you're with in extended spring report, but then also add in these new guys? It's kind of like an infusion of new blood. It's a whole new team to get to know.
Yeah, well, the pitching staff is like a family. I mean, we all, you know, we got really lucky last year. The guys got along great. And then this year, the new guys, you know, you kind of, there could be tension created from new guys. You know, some people think it's our turf, the guys who've been here, but it's been great. Like, everybody respects everybody, work together. It's been awesome.
How's it like working with Tim? I mean, you know, he started his career and knows the organization.
Yeah. He's still a young guy, so he gets it from that standpoint, and he is just has a plethora of knowledge. He's helped so much.
Last question for you, just being, you know, this year, your second pro year, anything you came into mind this season, I want to work on X, I need to improve Y, I want to do this, anything you kind of have in mind that you wanted to make sure 2014, I did this?
Number one would probably be limiting walks. And then two would be working on changeup, and that's what Sam's been really great with. He threw like a devastating splitter when he pitched, and he's really preached to me the importance of having someone like that to keep his off balance. I've been working on changeup every day, really.
Now, barely 24 hours after we spoke with him in Staten Island, McNamara found out that his hot start had earned him a nice reward, as some pitching flux higher in the organization opened the door for him to make a spot start for AA Trenton on July 9th. He's back in Staten Island now, and he's joined by one fellow holdover in local product who hopes to follow those footsteps, 6'8" righty David Palladino. Now, Palladino himself was a Yankees fan growing up in Bergen County, New Jersey, and after being taken in the fifth round in 2013, he started 12 of the 15 games he appeared in as a rookie for the Staten Island Yankees. Once again, he's a stalwart in the rotation this year, and Mike McNamara is certainly enjoying some fine home cooking in 2014.
Similar to Dylan, you're a local guy, grew up in Jersey. What was it like when you got that call that said, hey, the Yankees want to draft you?
I mean, it was amazing. It was amazing just because it was from the New York Yankees and everything, and it's an honor to put on the jersey. But more or less, I was growing up a Yankee fan. I was growing up going to the old stadium and everything with my whole family, watching all the games, so it's something else. Having the opportunity to possibly get to the Bronx one day, you know?
So now you start your career here. I mean, this is, you're looking right at the city you're trying to get to. What was that like to even not only come to the Yankees, but to be in Staten Island?
Being in Staten Island is great. I mean, I can't complain about it at all. About 45 minutes is where I'm from, so I mean, I got a lot of friends and family that come to each and every game, so it's always good seeing them and seeing them in the crowd and stuff.
As a guy who's been here as well, you know, I asked the same question to Dylan. It's kind of, you have guys you've been with for a year and extended spring training, and now you get some new guys coming in from the draft. How do you guys build team camaraderie into, you know, you're with some of these guys and all of a sudden here comes a new crop of guys and you blend into a team and just become a, you know, become family?
I mean, pitching, us as a staff have to be a family to succeed, because we have to have each other's back, whether I'm starting one game or coming in relief and next backing someone else up. So, I mean, but this year, I mean, the new guys have been so far a great group of guys, and the guys that I played with last year I already knew, so we all had a good teamwork and friendship together. But so far, so good. I mean, I can't complain about it at all.
And you have a pitching coach here this year who started his career in Staten Island as a Yankee guy, knows your organization through and through. What's it just been like working with Tim so far this year?
It's been amazing working with Tim. Tim and I have been working together since extended and everything, so it's nice because he's helped me out a lot. Just putting everything together sometimes, pitching,
right,
it's not the best, but sooner or later it's going to all click, you know?
Especially at 6'8". I mean, your delivery, I'm sure, is, you know, you got to make sure you repeat.
Yeah, you got to repeat it. I got to get over my front side attacking zone. There's a bunch of stuff, but I mean, yeah, I have fun doing it, but I mean, Tim's been great with me. He's patient and everything. He makes you work hard. He gives you motivational speeches just to get you up and every day out there doing the same thing, you know?
Last question for you is, you know, this being your second year, after last year, after extended spring, coming into this, you know, NY Penn League season, what was the one thing, if, or more than one thing, if there was, that you wanted to work on? I need to improve X. I want to develop Y. What was your main goal coming into the season?
I would say consistently outing to outing, and just throwing more strikes and attacking the zone more. It's been so far so decent, I would say.
Numbers,
I mean,
say so far so good.
But it's not where I want to be. I mean, I had three good outings in a row, but I gotta limit the bad outings to be okay rather than terrible.
Right.
So it takes a matter of time. So I mean, I'm ready. So
you'll get there.
Yeah, I'll get there. I mean, I'm still young, but you know, it's gonna happen sooner or later.
One of Palladino and McNamara's rotation mates is one of those extreme newcomers, that being 2014 sixth round pick Jonathan Holder. Holder was a college teammate of the Yankees' top pick, Jacob Lindgren, at Mississippi State, and he was the closer there, but is now transitioning into the rotation. That journey started with a few appearances in the GCL before a call-up to Staten Island in early July, and in his first outing for the SI Yanks, Holder threw three innings of four-hit shutout ball. The righty knows he has a long way to go to get to where he needs to be, but he's glad to be doing it in the same organization as one of his best friends.
What's going through your head? You get that phone call, it's the Yankees. We want you to come be a part of the organization.
Yeah, it was something special. You know, I'd been following it the day before, and one of my best friends, Jacob Lindgren, the guy, second rounder, he got picked the day before and everything. And then they called and they were like, hey, we're going to take you or whatever. And, you know, when it happened, it was a special moment.
How was it for you two? You know, you mentioned Jacob. You guys played together at Mississippi State. You're very good friends. And now here you are. You're going to a whole new organization. But four rounds before, he's coming with you. I mean, I know he's not here, but he's in the organization now. How much does that mean to you guys that you're still together, at least in the organization?
Yeah, it was awesome, especially because, you know, the first 2 weeks when we went down to Tampa to get physicals and sign up and stuff. So We got to be together, and the first bit of the transition, it was made a lot easier because, you know, we had each other right there.
As you've come into this team now, it's, you know, it's a transition from college to pro ball, obviously. How has that transition gone for you? I know it's, you know, even just something as simple as wood bats to metal bats might be a little more intimidating for a pitcher or for a hitter. How has it been for you so far in the first month or so?
So far, it's been pretty easy. I was fortunate enough to play in the Cape for 2 years, and it's a real... really similar to this and the feel for it and really the way we ran things at Mississippi State. You know, it was first class, it was professional style like this. Coach Thompson did a good job of preparing us for the next level.
When you come here now to Staten Island, I mean, you know, you're in the Yankees organization. Yankee Stadium is 10 miles that way, maybe, across the bay and a river. What's that like for you to come here and start your career in the city where someday the dream is you're going to be wearing pinstripes 10 miles up the road?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, you get to come and experience what it's like to live in a city and be this close to New York, the Yankees real stadium in the Bronx, and hopefully I'll get a chance to go over there and watch a game.
And what has it been like for you to work with Tim so far, you know, coming in from college? He's a Yankee guy, started his career here, knows the system. What's it been like to work with him for the last few weeks?
Yeah, well, I just got here a couple days ago, so I hadn't really worked with him much, but I'm looking forward. We're going to have a video session soon and, you know, on my outing last night, so looking forward to it a lot.
Last question for you, too. Just one more transition question. As you've come in, what was the one thing that, you know, going from college to the pros now, you've in your head, I want to work on this or develop this, or what was the one biggest thing you want to work on the second half of this year, I guess, as I'll phrase it?
Yeah, well, I'm working on starting. In college, I was a closer for 3 years, and then now I'm making a transition to be a starter. So I'm working out of the windup, which I haven't done since high school, and I'm also working on some different pitches, just feeling around and seeing what could work as a third pitch.
Moving out into the field, we come to a fellow second day 2014 draftee, infielder Ty McFarland, who is making a transition of his own. The Yankees' 10th round pick this past June, McFarland was mostly a third baseman at James Madison University earlier this year, but he's seen most of his time for Staten Island at second base, a move that adds to his infield flexibility. Now, moving to the pros is also an adjustment for McFarland in another way, as he's no longer playing for his father, Joe Spanky McFarland, who was his head coach for 4 years with the Dukes. But in a statement that might surprise you, Ty feels he might actually have less pressure on him now.
And what was going through your mind when you get the phone call? It's the Yankees.
Oh, they had been talking to me all season long, so I knew it was a possibility that there was a lot of interest there. So when I got the phone call, it was just a great time to celebrate that with myself and my family.
So your dad coached you for 4 years, you know, JMU. Like, was that difficult for you? Was that easier for you? I mean, you know, you go back to that old Little League adage of, oh, the coach's son, you know. But was it more difficult for you, or was it easier for you because you had your dad there to lean on as not only a mentor but a coach?
Yeah, it was a good thing to go through. There was a lot of pressure added. Being the coach's son, I had to prove myself each day. You know, I was never given, you know, opportunities. If I fail, you know, I had to, my dad was there to give me. So there's a lot more pressure added, which I think made me a better player in the long run.
You've played, you know, a little bit around the infield here. Do you kind of feel more comfortable at one position? Are you learning more or less at one or the other? How are you feeling in the field?
Well, I played third base in college and then second base primarily here. So I'm still learning it, and I'm feeling more comfortable as each day comes. And we've been working pretty hard at it to get comfortable there. So I'm starting to like it a lot.
Just the last question for you is, you know, this being your first professional season, I'm sure it's a big adjustment going from college to now to the pros. What's your goal for 2014? Do you have anything you want to make sure you work on or anything specific?
First and foremost, I want to win with the team, win as many games as we can, and get to the playoffs and then play from there. But other than that, I just want to get best defensively as I can and help the team win. That's pretty much it.
Joining McFarland in Staten Island's infield at times is one of those players who has been in the Yankee system for a while but is new to Staten Island, that being first baseman slash outfielder Chris Breen. Drafted out of high school in 2012 as a catcher, Breen spent his rookie year behind the plate in the GCL, but moved to first base last season and also got some experience in left field as well. He split his first season in Staten Island between those last two positions, and as his career moves along, he's got a pair of notable prospects who also started behind the plate to look up to.
First question for you is, you know, you're drafted as a catcher, but now you're playing first base, a little bit of the outfield. How's that transition going for you as you've gone not only further out in the field, but even now out further into the outfield?
I think it's going pretty well. The way I look at it, do nothing but improve my versatility, being able to play the corner outfield spots first and having the catching experience, you know, if you want to put me back there or, you know, I end up getting traded, going somewhere else, just having, you know, all that in my back pocket.
There's a lot of guys on the roster up and down through the system that have that, can play first, third, both corners. You know, Peter O'Brien has gone from catcher to first and third and all that. Do you feel that added flexibility is a benefit as you go forward? I mean, you can fit in anywhere. As long as your bat translates, you can fit in anywhere.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, just being able to give myself as many opportunities as I can to be put in the lineup, you know, at as many spots as possible can do nothing but help me, I feel like.
Do you guys, like, especially Greg Bird and Peter O'Brien, you know, both were drafted as catchers, both have moved out. Seeing their success as they've moved up to the levels, does that, like, help motivate you as well, being like, I'm going to follow in this pipeline and I can be, you know, moving up the same way these guys have?
Yeah, you know, definitely had the chance to, you know, spend a good amount of time with them in spring training. They're actually living in the same condo complex, and, you know, talking with them, you know, just about, you know, hitting, you know, position changes, all kinds of other stuff. So, you know, just gives you something to shoot for and, you know, something to follow up in.
Now, as you've moved up, you know, you were in the GCL, you've moved up here, you've got guys that you've played with, Austin being one of them, sure, you've played with for the last couple of years, guys you've been in extended spring with. Now you have a whole new crop of draftees that have come in. You guys have to blend together right away and kind of become a team. How is that transition for you guys to add in these guys and just become a family and go out there and you might not know each other so well right off the bat, but you got to come out and produce right away?
I mean, I think everybody's done a pretty good job. You know, these guys come in and have made a pretty nice transition to, you know, just getting acclimated to our, you know, our routine, how we've kind of set the standard about going about things and, you know, coming in and just doing their part and kind of just fitting in where they need to fit in, and everything's, you know, transitioning pretty smooth.
So as the coaching staff has moved up too, Mario and Tim, you know, coaching the GCL last year, they've been with you guys in extended spring. How has that familiarity helped you as you've risen up too? You've got a coaching staff that's not necessarily brand new, or you've only worked within a limited base.
I think that's another thing. It's helped us out a lot. You know the way Mario likes to, you know, coach, and, you know, his aggressiveness, his style, you know, I think he's done a good job. You know, Figgy also, he was with us in extended spring, you know, how he, you know, coordinates his infield, and, you know, Norty's done a great job with the pitching staff, you know, keeping everybody on track, moving these new guys in and out, and doing a good job with that.
Last question for you is, as you've moved up through the system now, you've had a couple years, what was the one thing coming into 2014, as you start your season, you know, after coming out of extended spring, that I need to develop this or I want to work on that? What was the one biggest thing that you felt was your biggest goal for 2014?
My biggest thing was just, you know, get up here, you know, be consistent and just, you know, show them what you can do. I mean, that consistency was the thing for me. I felt like, you know, when I got up here, everything else would just, you know, translate and where I need to be. Just be consistent throughout the year. Be this, you know, be the same guy when you got here to the end.
On the days Breen isn't at first base, he's in the opposite outfield corner as our final guest this month, right fielder Austin Ahn. Drafted out of high school in 2012 as a shortstop, Ahn followed a similar path as Breen, spent his rookie year in the GCL at his natural position before shipping out to right in 2013, and he's been a stalwart there for Staten Island this season. Still just 20 years old, he has watched as a fellow 2012 draftee, Rob Refsnyder, has made a reverse transition from the outfield to the middle infield. And like Refsnyder and fellow classmate Peter O'Brien, Austin's hoping that his move is the one that helps rocket him up the Yankees depth chart.
Now, your third year in the system, after 2 years in the GCL, what's it like to be here in Staten Island playing across the river, across the bay from where you're trying to be?
Yeah, it's awesome. This feels like professional baseball. This is what I signed up for, playing in front of fans, you know, developing as a player through the minor league system, and it's been great so far.
You're one of, I don't want to say many prospects, but, you know, there's a lot of guys in the system that have switched positions coming in. You have done one of those. How's your transition been going so far after now a couple of years to work at it?
The transition from shortstop to outfield has been really easy. We got great coaches here, helped me out. I actually played a little bit of outfield in high school, so it's not totally new. You know, my athletic ability, I feel like, is probably more suited for the outfield. So, I mean, it's been a really easy transition for me.
It's kind of like I'll say it as a reverse Refsnyder. Like, he came in and then you're going out.
Exactly.
You know, obviously, it's a different side of the diamond, too, if you're playing right field versus shortstop. How have you adjusted with just different angles and you know, infield to outfield being a difficult enough adjustment as it is?
Yeah, well, we do this thing in BP called Bob, balls off the bat. You know, so I'm in right field seeing the ball, you know, pitch by pitch. And just getting used to all the different angles. Been working on it for 2 years now. So it's coming just as an instinct now. It's not hard at all. You know, I'm getting, you know, bobbing left, center, and right. So, you know, it's been pretty easy, really.
Now you're a relatively young guy still, even though this is your third year in the system. You've got guys that you've been working your way up with throughout the years. Now you've got a whole new crop of guys that were drafted this year that come in. And you guys, you know, you have to mesh right away and put your best foot forward. How is it for you guys to just kind of bond and get together and get to, you're learning one another as you're learning how to play the game?
Right, yeah. I mean, it's easy. We all love baseball. We're all for the same goals, get across the water to New York. So bonding's pretty easy. You got the locker room, you got long bus trips, hotels. You know, it's pretty easy. If you're a pretty likable guy, I mean, it's really easy. You know, it's not too hard.
You, in the GCL last year, I know Mario was a manager in the GCL and Tim was down in the GCL last year. You know, with the two affiliates, sometimes guys flip-flop back and forth, but what's it been like this year? You know, you at least knew them from last year, so as you're moving up the ladder, they're moving up the ladder too. Does that familiarity help with, you know, you don't have to learn a new system, so to speak, as well as you move up the ladder?
Yeah, well, I actually wasn't on Mario's team last year. I was on Chief's team.
Chief's team?
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, but being with Mario all spring training, you know, all last year, it's really easy.
Last question for you, just as you've come into this year, you know, through extended spring and now into this year, what was the one biggest thing or biggest things, if there's more than one, that you said, you know, I need to do X this year, I need to develop Y, I want this result? What was that one thing first and foremost in your mind that was, this is Austin, this is me, this is what I need to do in 2014?
Learn my swing. Man, I gotta get consistent with the bat. I feel like, you know, just learning my swing in the cage, in BP, and then definitely during the games. You know, you take it pitch by pitch. You miss a pitch, you got to know your swing to, you know, that next pitch. You need to make the adjustment on what to do. So really learning my swing is the biggest thing I'm working on right now.
Now, that position change may mean that On won't be the one to succeed Derek Jeter in the future, but he's so far on the right track towards a spot in the Bronx. Now, before we finish this month's show, we want to spotlight one other baby bomber for his work off the field last month. Baseball was a medal sport for the first time in this year's Special Olympics USA Games, and both the bronze and gold medal games were held at Arm & Hammer Park in Trenton on June 19th. Thunder players Tyler Austin and Aaron Dott were on hand that night to take part in the ceremonies, and they also helped distribute commemorative Hall of Fame coins to the Special Olympians. That night, our Doug Williams caught up with Austin to get his thoughts on the day.
So, obviously, this is a first of its kind, anything like this. Nothing really like this has ever happened, especially baseball involved with the Special Olympics. How cool is it to happen at your own park, at Arm & Hammer Park?
You know, it's awesome. Today, getting to come out here and watch these guys come out here and play and give it everything they got on the field, it really puts things into perspective for the guys that they get to play out on this field every day. And it's just an unbelievable experience for me to be a part of right now.
And how awesome was it seeing how excited each team was to participate here and how their eyes lit up when they came out on the field?
Oh, it's unbelievable just to see the joy and the happiness that this brings them and brings everybody. You know, it's like I said, I'm so happy to be a part of it and get to watch these games.
And that is going to do it for this edition of Minor League Monthly. Special thanks go out to my producer, Doug Williams, the Staten Island Yankees staff, and all of the players who helped make this month's show possible. Be sure to join us again in August as we roam the farm to catch up with the prospects you need to know. But until then, I'm Lou DiPietro saying thanks for listening, and keep coming back to YesNetwork.com for more on your baby bombers as they travel down the path to the house that Ruth built.